This morning, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 18. Chapter 9, verse 18. For wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. And then in chapter 10, verse 19. And the rest of the trees of his forest shall be few, that a child may write them. I will talk to you this morning about the wildfires of wickedness. You know, in recent years, we have had numerous wildfires in the state of Oklahoma, grass fires, and some even in the Arbuckle Mountains that destroyed a lot of trees in that beautiful place. And right now, in the western states, in particular California, fueled by the Santa Ana winds of 60, 70, 80 miles an hour, they're having some massive wildfires. You get in front of them, you can't outrun them. And it's destroying a lot of houses and outbuildings, reducing them to a pile of ashes and rubble. To some, they have lost animals and pets in the midst of all of this because they were not able to escape. So we know wildfires are very awful when they come in our direction. Well, our text for today speaks of a wildfire of a different kind. Israel had turned away from God, and it seemed that this had been happening all too often. In describing their sins, God said this, "Your wickedness burns like a fire. It consumes briars and thorns. It sets the forest thickets ablaze so that it rolls upward in a column of smoke." And so here, sin is likened to a wildfire that is out of control. I think we'd all agree this morning that we live in a time when sin seems to be running rampant. And it seems like even in our nation that so many are turning against God and against the church. I don't understand it. But I know that we live in a difficult time. The Bible said things are going to wax worse and worse and the last days, and I really think that we're there. But I also know that in describing their sins, God has reminded us that there are a lot of passages in the scripture where fire is used by God to symbolize various aspects of not only our Christian living, but life in general. Moses, for example, was tending the sheep on the backside of the desert, and he looked up and he saw a bush that was burning, but it was not being consumed, and it interested him, and he drew closer. And when he drew closer to the site, then God spoke to him out of that burning bush and gave him directions to go and lead his children out of the land of bondage. And when Moses was dealing with Pharaoh in Egypt about the release of God's people from bondage, God sent a plague of hail upon Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Bible said it was mingled with fire. On Mount Sinai, when God gave the law, Moses was there and he received the law from God. And when God descended, he descended in fire. Aaron gave in to the pressures of the complaining Israelites when Moses was still up on the mount, Mount Sinai, and he melted their jewelry in the fire and he formed a golden calf that they might worship. Achan and his whole family were stoned and they were burned in fire in the Valley of Achor because of the sin of covetousness and disobedience. You remember they were told not to take anything, any of the accursed thing out of Jericho. And he got some and he hid it in the midst of his tent. And they lost a battle against Ai, a little village. They didn't have much of an army, but God wanted to show them that their strength was not in their might, but in his might. And because there was sin in the camp, we find that God did not bless them. Then Elijah the prophet prayed on Mount Carmel in a contest. You remember the story how that there was a battle to see who was God. Was Baal God or was Jehovah God? And so Elijah said, let's have a contest. Let's decide once and for all. Let's settle this thing. We're going to have a contest, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And so the scripture tells us that the prophets of Baal, they built their altar, they put the sacrifice on it, and they started early in the day, and they went almost to the end of the day, and they prayed, and they called out, they cried, and Elijah began to taunt them and say, maybe he's out on a journey. Maybe you need to holler louder. And so they cut themselves and all manner of things. But Baal didn't answer, and Baal never answers. And then Elijah came. He said, fellas, if I'm going to have any time at all, you've got to step aside. And he built up the altar, placed wood on the altar, and placed the sacrifice there. He did something unusual. He dug a trench around that altar, and he got 12 barrels of water, and he poured on it to where it was completely saturated with water, and the trenches was lifting full. And he bowed before God, and he said a short prayer. And God sent a bolt of fire down from heaven, destroyed that sacrifice, the wood, and lift up all the water out of that trench. And they all cried out, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. But it didn't last long. Elijah went to heaven not by death, but by a whirlwind, when chariots and horses of fire came down to take him to heaven. Wouldn't that be a good way to go to heaven? Just be serving the Lord, and the Lord says, it's enough. I'm coming after you. You don't have to die. He sent a chariot of fire and took him up. He was one of two that did not die. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you remember they were thrown into a furnace of fire because they were faithful to God. And when they wanted to find out how they were doing in there, they came and they looked on the inside, and the one that did said, hey, did we not throw three in there? Said, there's four people walking around in there, and one of them looks like the Son of God. And they came out of there with not a single hair on their head since. Then the Apostle Paul, in talking about judgment, he said, our God is a consuming fire. He will destroy this old world one day by fire. The first time it was by a flood, he sent a rainbow to say, I'll never do that again. But he also said that the next time it'll be by fire to destroy as by fire. In John's vision in Revelation, he saw the Lord who had eyes as flaming fire. And there's one more verse that I want to consider with you. That's Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. It tells us that when all is said and done, the devil and his imps will be cast into the lake of fire, and they will be tormented forever, day and night. And those whose names are not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into that same lake of fire. I'm going to tell you, anybody that's got any common sense doesn't want to go to that place called hell. I'm going to tell you, somebody that got the shock of his life last night, that was the head of ISIS, al-Baghdadi, that believed that when he died, he was going to have all these virgins and he was going to just be living a life of luxury, found himself in hell. The fires of hell licking around his body and soul. You know, there are people that are duped into thinking that everything's all right. They believe something, and you can believe something that's different from the Bible, but that doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it right. You've got to believe and walk on the truth of the Word of God. Well, in our day, like in Isaiah's, the fires of wickedness and sin are all around us, and they're burning. I think you will agree that they're burning out of control today. I have never seen. And if you had told me a few years ago that America would be where it's at today, in its morals, in its talk about the church, you see, there are those that are even talking about taking the church's exemption, tax exemption, and making the church pay taxes. And it seems like a lot of folks are agreeing with them. And they're talking about abortion today, even after the baby is born. That's murder. That's just murder. So we live in a world where if you stand up for Jesus Christ, you're frowned upon. There is persecution today. It might be a little bit different, but just hold your horses. It's coming down the pike. If God doesn't rapture us out soon, we're going to see some terrible persecution. Well, in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 16 and 17, there's another verse about fire. And this verse is, of course, referring to God's judgment, that the wildfires of wickedness will be destroyed. Who is in control? God. He is omnipotent. The devil has power, yes, but God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. He created the heavens and the earth. And he created man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he gave him a living soul. He not only created this world, he sustains it. One day when he takes his hand off of it, the fires will come. This old world will melt with a fervent heat. At a closer look, we also can see that it is prophesying about the coming of the Messiah. Then chapter 9, verse 6, it talks about the coming of the Messiah. Verse 17 here is a continuation of that thought. In other words, God will fight the wildfires of Israel by using another fire. You might say he will set a backfire in order to deal with the wildfire. And yes, that's what the coming of Christ is all about. He came in order that he might give a solution for our sins. God doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He didn't want Al-Baghdadi to go there. But you have a choice to make in life. You choose whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Amen. And that's what all of us ought to say. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. He made provision. And I'm telling you, I have never regretted that at the age of 14, and I'm up there. At the age of 14, I gave my life to the Lord. And you know, I've never regretted that. I've never thought about quitting. I've never thought about throwing in the towel. I've never been discouraged about the Lord. He's always been there. And I know it's a walk by faith, and I'm going to keep walking that way. I want him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But when he comes a second time, it will be to put out completely and finally the fires of sin and of wickedness through the strategy of judgment. That is, if God cannot bring us to repentance through the word, then he must lift his hand to chasten us. And if we do not submit to his chastening, then he will stretch out his hand to judge us, to judge us. Well, the Bible said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. We dare not tempt him by having a careless, calloused attitude about the fact that he is going to come again. I can tell you, his coming is soon. What can we do? Well, we can hold on to our faith. What do you do today? You know, I mean, it seems like churches are dying and folks just don't want to go to church anymore. You can't get your own people here. How are you going to get the sinner here, you know? If we're not excited about being in church and loving the Lord and serving him, and being excited about going to heaven, how are we going to excite others to come to the house of God? We can hold on to our own faith, brethren. In spite of the intense testing that we're going to be sent through, Peter says our faith will be tested even as with fire. And the meaning here is that it will be intensely tested. Intensely. In other words, it's going to be tough. It's already getting tougher, isn't it? Already getting tougher. As the wildfires of sin and wickedness burn, we're admonished to hang in there. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep on hanging on. We don't have a whole lot longer to go before he's going to come back and take us home. And then secondly, we can commit ourselves to the word of God and let it consume our being. Remember, God's word was in Jeremiah's heart as a burning fire shut up in his bones. So it needs to be in our own life in these days of wickedness and sin, the word of God needs to be within our own heart and soul. You know what fire does? It burns out the dross. It separates. And that's what the fire of the Spirit of God does within our life. It separates and it helps us to burn off the dross and get rid of it so that we might stand before him hearing the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Permit the word of God to burn in your own hearts, to consume anything and everything that ought not to be there. Then thirdly, we can live a spirit-filled life each day. John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he also says, but he that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. When one is saved, that is, when he's born again, he's baptized by God's Holy Spirit. He is baptized by fire because fire symbolizes the cleansing. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things become new. But let me remind you that Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, but keep on, that is continuously, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit of God will help us to overcome. And we know that when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell our lives, but sometimes we need an extra filling of the Spirit in order to say no to sin and to turn away from that which would hinder us in our service for the Lord. And so we need the Holy Spirit to burn out the dross, burn out that which is unpleasing to the Lord. You see, we need to be a clean vessel because the Holy Spirit will not live in an unclean vessel. Well, let me say this, and let me ask this. Is there a wildfire of sin burning in your life today? It'll destroy you. It'll destroy your soul. It'll cause you to stand before God unclean, and he'll have no alternative but to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I do not know you. The good news is this morning that Christ came to put out the wildfires of sin in your life, in my life, in the whole world's life. And he offers you the opportunity this morning to walk down the aisle and say, preacher, I want to give my life to the Lord. I don't want sin to reign in my life. I want the Holy Spirit of God to be number one in my life. I want to serve him with all my heart. I want to know that when I leave here today, that I'm on the road to heaven. I'm on the road to heaven. Can you say that this morning? I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm going to heaven because he reached down and saved me. I gave my life to the Lord. And if you can't say that this morning, you need to march down here at this altar and kneel with us and let's pray and turn it over to God and you can give your heart to the Lord. He said, if you'll confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins. He'll cast it in the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be held against you anymore. That's what God does. And then he pulls out his book. He writes your name down in the Lamb's book of life. And when that day of judgment comes, when we stand before him, he'll look in the book. Is your name there? If not, it can be this morning. It needs to be this morning. Don't put it off. Don't be calloused or cold about the things of God. It's too important. Will you bow with me?